I'm good.
Good? Okay. So let's continue. All right, with that. Good morning, everyone. It's Commissioner Brian Kulk. It's 11:40 this morning, April 24th. We're meeting for administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. The commission has a 11:30... Let me back up. At 11:30, the IT budget is going to be discussed down in the Senate Appropriations. So if we're still going at 11:30, we'll go offline and the three of us are going to drop down for that. But I'm hopeful that we can finish by 11:30 since I don't see Mr. Jerry Lane here to schedule anything. So with that, we have a few items on consent. I would move passage.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. So, Ryan, you are now officially on a whole bunch of cases based on consent. Congratulations. Let's get to my notes here. Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak, you would like a primary review of open meeting requirements and PSC process.
Yes. Alana sent around the most recent Attorney General's opinion on open meetings records and some violations that the State Board of Higher Education had. I thought it was very informative, the opinion, and it triggered in me. I know that this agency has been doing this for years and is very diligent about this process, but I just wanted to make sure that all of us are kind of up to speed and on what exactly is required, and if there, and also talk through how in all of the different instances that we're establishing meetings, what's the process in place for following and making sure that the all the steps are being covered. I've kind of boiled it down into just a few key areas. First of all, in terms of the notice, what's required of the notice. So every single time we notice a meeting has to have date, time, location, and topics. And that needs to be, and then where we post that is on the website or at the Secretary of State's office, but it sounds like we can post it on the website. We have to post a handwritten or computer-typed notice outside the door, which we always do outside our door. But if we're at a different location, we're required to put it on that door and, I believe, on this door. And so we're supposed to cover both of those. And the reason why that kind of comes to mind is the State Board of Higher Education was dinged on that one, on not posting it correctly outside the door. And then I'm not completely sure, and I'd love Alana to clarify how and when the media are supposed to be notified. Sounds to me like they're supposed to be notified on special or emergency meetings and any time that they're requesting to be notified.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably a summary. It's a minimum media. Like, in theory, we could just notify the Bismarck Tribune, but we notify our list mm-hmm. every time we do anything, update anything, I believe. So we're notifying probably the media a little bit more than we need to because it's an email
sure.
type of thing. There are some confusing open to interpretation statements both in the opinion and in the manual, which I mm-hmm. looked at again to try to see if I was remembering things correctly. And I have asked for a meeting with the person in the AG's office who is responsible for this with Daryl. It won't happen until later in May, but to just sit down for each type of thing that we do with and our announcements on the web, which is pretty much where that's our main, what we mainly post, okay, because mm-hmm. it has all the types of meetings, and just go through the kinds of things we do and what requirements are we meeting them or do we need to tweak anything.
And then, so we all know who is doing this on a regular basis.
I believe that Esther is doing it on a regular basis because it all stems from sort of an agenda and publication of a regular or special meeting agenda. And the calendaring goes with it. Calendaring is not essential to open meetings, but it is to us getting our work done. And that's all through Esther, I believe, with a backup. I'm not sure who's assigned as backup.
And Esther's does Esther, do you do the media as well, or is that Scott? No, that's all, so it's all through you. And who's responsible for telling Esther?
Well, I think it's whoever decides that they're going to get something scheduled. I mean, if Public Utilities is asking for a fast work session on something last minute, then probably Public Utilities is going to, you know, if it's pipeline, and Pat might be telling Esther. If it's wind, Jerry might be telling Esther. If a commissioner walks by my office and says, we need to do this, please tell Esther we're going to have something on the House bill, or you might email her yourself. It's going to come from all different sources.
Yep.
Unless you want to change that and have it go through one source.
Well, if I could interject, this is a good discussion because we had this discussion at least a dozen times in the last 4 years. And we don't really have a one-stop shop of who's responsible because of what Alana just said, to where if it's a Public Utilities case for Mike, then Mike's responsible. If it's one for Jerry, then Jerry's responsible. Or it gets dicey as Commissioner Culp decides he wants to have a special meeting. Well, then I'm taking some responsibility. I mean, Pat may not even know. So I think that, you know, what we're doing is fine, but I would like to think, ask Daryl, that you kind of become the backstop as the executive secretary, that where the primary is whoever is the case it's involving. But a backstop is Daryl's going to be in here running these meetings with us, that if you could take a larger role and just double check. And I think you already do that. But that's kind of what I was thinking.
I like
about
that idea.
So there's a backstop.
So
in
he
there.
Always knows.
He's the double check that
yep.
before
He's
we.
He's the one mainstay. I mean, it's Esther and him.
Always included, right?
Yep.
That's fine. And if a person sends like an email to the commission list, you're going to catch all those people anyway, and it's still one step.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, that's kind of what the way I use it, because then I know those people are covered. Commissioners are covered. Daryl's covered. Now, if I include Public Utilities, I've covered all the people in Public Utilities who might need to do anything. If they don't need it, they can delete it.
But that's we're the biggest. The commissioners are the biggest problem with these meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
And the staff, I think, for the most part, does a really good job. It's when one of us... Hey, let's have a meeting at 1:15, and then we haven't knocked on wood, made any mistakes. But for us, it really we're kind of the ones that can cause big staff problems.
What? Yeah,
I had a question about the announcements because we rely on the announcements, and I think that's probably if you're going to a hearing, you can take the notice of hearing. But if you're going to a meeting, like a PI meeting at BSC or something, mm-hmm. probably should have taken the announcements and posted it on the door. Unless you want to individually do things, which is more work. But I didn't know how quickly the announcements on the web end up being updated. Like if Esther adds a work session,
instant.
It is instant now. It shows up on the web.
Okay. You refresh your...
yeah.
You have to refresh your announcements, it, yeah. But it's instant.
Okay. Because then I think that's the simplest thing to do as a follow-up is to just continually replace it out front if anything's been added. And take it.
And Esther, is that
job
you have to do that? So who's Esther's backup on this? Because this is, you know,
this everybody, is what we ran into on Monday.
Everybody can't be here all the time. And
you and I think that because we know she knows how to do it. But yeah.
Well,
but
what do you
Shelley.
Guys think? I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
We should have this solidified somewhere.
Yep.
This is,
I would suggest Scott because he has the most, I mean, he knows the most about the calendar. He has done some in the past.
And he updates the web.
And he updates the web, yes.
Well, and I wouldn't be against that. But
and then, you know, it wouldn't even hurt to have someone else,
backup.
Like Shelley
yes.
or something, as another backup.
That would be my suggestion as well.
Yeah.
And I say that Scott has already been certified to do that through the Secretary of State's office, so he does have that application. And it wouldn't take much for Shelley to get that as well, and I agree. You know,
how about for yourself?
If we have three.
Can you? I don't know what kind of training you have to have, but if you're gonna, you know, worst case scenario, you see something that's not right, Shelley and Esther and Scott are all gone, that you could go out.
I agree with that too. I think I would have.
Is there a downside to having more people authorized to do this?
No, I don't think there would be at all. I think the more people you have, maybe the better off you would be. You know, yeah, I think I would be glad to be trained in that area as well. And I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, it just there's certain things that you have to be aware of, and I don't think that would take that much to do.
My only question is it still going to be that everyone comes to me first. That they don't go to Daryl, and then Daryl puts it on, and then all of a sudden I'm putting it on. Now it's out there twice or three times. Or
I think you should always be there unless you're not.
Unless you're not.
The challenge is that if it's something at 4 o'clock, Esther's gone, it isn't for 3 days, and we can't wait. We have to make sure we wait the next day, that it doesn't need to be announced at 4:30 and get someone involved.
I agree with that, Esther. I think Esther still is a key person. And as, you know, just maybe supervising it, I'd make, you know, just kind of double check and then work with Esther. But I do think that she becomes a primary in terms of getting that information out, unless she's not there, and then it would go to whoever the backup is, and then, you know, I would kind of follow up on that as well.
And Esther would not be available, and it's critical. That's that can't be just because someone's not available. If we're noticing a meeting in August, it doesn't have to be noticed today.
No. Noon. But even like those meetings that you guys had between the three of you, those were pretty important to get out. And not having the backup all together, you know, that we finally got it all worked out, and it happened appropriately. But it took a little bit of time, but we got it all worked out and did it on an appropriate time level. So.
Okay.
So staff will be notifying, just so we know what the policy is, staff will be notifying Esther, like they always have, and Daryl. And then commissioners, when we call meetings, we'll be going to Daryl.
We should go to Esther.
We
should go to Esther first.
Esther and Daryl?
We should always go to Esther first.
All right. Okay, so we'll go to Esther and Daryl. Scott's going to be the primary backup. Daryl's going to learn how to do this as well, so there's no follow-up there. And then Esther's going to post, and whoever's doing it will make the little signs to post outside.
Well, Julie brings up a good point of give me your legal interpretation on it. At 11:30 today, the three of us more than likely are going to be sitting in an IT budget meeting. Do we have to hang a sign outside that door that says commission meeting when we don't say a word?
Probably. Based on what this says, but that's one of the questions that I'm going to ask, and I'll this Sandra Voller, because our situation is so different, and I think of it every time I think about this vote on the Board of Higher Ed. Make it like the Public Service Commissioners.
I know
they don't know where they're going with that one, but
no,
anyway,
they don't.
You know, take it.
Well, it could there. We? We were down there the other day, and they have it on the board. You know. 1008. They have their agenda on the board. Now, it doesn't say it's a Public Service Commission meeting.
Right.
It is, the topic is there. So I guess if we were pushed on it, that's what I would say. It is posted. It's right here.
I think the requirement is more specific than that. And I'm basing that on the conversation I did have with Sandra, which was about whether we could, we were thinking on Friday that maybe we could pre-announce if the legislature schedules 1008, the three commissioners will be there, kind of thing, on Friday, and not have to do it over the weekend. And she said, well, when it got scheduled on Saturday night over the weekend, you'd have to update that. You'd still have to do it. Yes. So it wouldn't have done any good. And so I'm thinking it's that one night we probably have to somehow comply with and take a copy of the announcements down there if it's on there.
It's easy. Wouldn't we want to be careful not get too carried away? When we're having a hearing in Mandan next week, there's no question we should have something on the door over there. But there's also that fine line. If all three of us sit there and we don't say a word, it probably wasn't a PSC meeting.
No, it is. It is to listen. You don't have to say anything. There's a Supreme Court case that talks about observing information that is related to your state business. So, yes, you don't have to be discussing to have a meeting. You're all three observing the same information.
Okay.
Today, you don't take one down there, you don't take one down. I mean, if we didn't have this discussion and you went at 11:30, you wouldn't have one down there with you. So we'll clarify
that. I think if you can clarify that these kind of things legislatively, but we have to do a better job at all of our hearings, because I don't recall any hearings in a long time that we've hung anything on the door.
Yeah, I agree. And that will be easier.
And so that would fall to whoever has the lead on it. Like, who's our staff lead in the Mandan gas line? Is that Pat? Sarah? So, Sarah, that'd be your job to hang that notice there. And when Jerry's doing a power line for us, you make sure you hang a power line there.
Can't we just find a way to put the calendar out there? It is out there, isn't it?
Well, there's something to do. It has to be on the door.
It has to be on the door.
Hang the calendar on the door.
Yes, we could take. We don't have to take the notice. You can take the calendar.
But it has to be on the door of where we're doing the hearing.
The announcements, yeah.
So that's the part that's new.
The reason the announcements...
Exactly, Jerry.
The reason the announcements are important is because it's supposed to include the agenda, the topics for discussion. So that's, and we may be tweaking what we say in there to be sure we've covered that in the announcements. So the notice gives you a topic, or the announcements give you a topic, but the calendar wouldn't. So, I mean, this is a lot of detail.
Alana, I'm sorry.
A point for your discussion with the assistant AGs in is when we're at someone else's meeting, we don't know if they're going to change the agenda. It's pretty hard to post it in a legislative meeting and they start discussing something else.
Yeah, and you don't have to post theirs. That's their problem. You need to post your topic, which is House Bill 1008, let's say, if it's legislative, even if they go off onto six other things.
But I can tell you there's an easy way for the three of us to solve some of these problems, too, is that we all three got to be at hearings, but some of these other things, as long as we trust each other, we can farm it out. We don't all, like right now, we're all three going everywhere. But we put a lot of burden on staff and we all three go everywhere.
Well, I don't think hanging a sign on a door is a burden. I mean,
it's much more than that. It's noticing it and it's doing all those other things.
Yeah, well, we can, I mean.
All food for thought, I think.
Yeah.
One question, Alana, like yesterday when we had. We had a meeting, it was initially scheduled in Randy's office, and then it ended up in here, and it was noticed in your office. But Randy hung a note on his door saying that, and that's appropriate.
Yes.
So could we not hang, if we look at hanging a note on the commission hearing room, that they're meeting down in the room downstairs for the...
I think if somebody complained about that and... The Attorney General learned that you knew on Tuesday that you were going to be downstairs, but for convenience you thought, well, I'll just hang it up here and say downstairs, that's a violation.
Okay.
Because it's kind of what you know and when you know it. Mm-hmm. If at the last minute you have to move it, like we did for the Ivan public input,
right.
You're doing your best to cover it, and I think that there was a lot of that in this parole board. They did their best under the situation when they knew it.
It says in their rules here that I'm looking at, there were two-pager. Notices must be posted in the entity's main office and at the location of the meeting. So, yeah.
Well, Alana, why don't you go to have, those are all perfect questions, but can you, once you go down and interpret all that, can we do this again and then you get back with what you got from them, then we'll encapsulate your discussion with them in case someday it comes back.
We'll make a set of instructions that we can all just preserve.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about one more thing before we get off the subject, and this is mostly for mine and Brian and Randy's and mine's benefit, I think, because I think it's important that we understand what we can and cannot do. And in this point, I appreciated for changes in the agenda. When according to this primer, it says that you can change an agenda of a regular meeting at the meeting if we want to make additions, because it's a regular meeting and we can change it.
And but I think for special, our says that. I think our regular thing says it might change.
Okay. Yeah. For special meetings or emergency meetings, you cannot do that. You have
That's
to stick
correct.
To the topic that you've announced.
That's correct. You can't say, well, we're all together, so let's quick talk about that.
Yep. And so the topics, that was something that was kind of hammered home and came down on pretty hard in the recent opinion. You have to be specific about what you're talking about and stick to it on special meetings.
And one of the things I'm going to ask Sandra, we notice our case. Most of our work sessions have a case number, but we have not said. The question is whether to grant the motion to dismiss. Or the question is what's the right return on equity? We haven't said that, and I don't know if we need to, but that's one of the questions I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
How specific does that topic thing have to be?
My philosophy on this is follow the rules as closely as you possibly can, because any time they even suggest you violated it, you look like you violated it. And violating public meetings is something that is offensive to the public.
Just
so
to follow the laws as much as I can all the time.
Well, yeah, but, you know, these rules are, they're specific.
But there's also the piece, though, of we have our own attorney and our own interpretation, and his stuff is big, but it's nice to have this discussion, because if we disagree functionally on what that says, we can go back and ask for clarification.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And that's what I think the key thing is.
And I'd rather do that now before we have a violation that people are talking about, and so we know what's expected of us.
Absolutely.
And that document is continually tweaked because laws change and people learn something from a new opinion. So it's a living, breathing document.
Yep. Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, let's get into scheduling. We've got 29 minutes. Jerry, you're first. You don't have 29 minutes, Jerry.
Okay, we set the 4th, 5th, and 12th of September for the Basin Electric hearings, subject to company being okay with that, and they are okay with that.
Great.
So we finalize those.
4th, 5th, and 12th?
Yeah, and the other question was where would we have them? And the company suggested doing Tioga, Williston, and Killdeer. Their thought was that Beulah was a little bit way over on the end and less populated area than Killdeer along the route. They thought that Killdeer made a more central location for the east-west leg to make things better.
Didn't you say there was only a couple landowners on the eastern edge of that segment, too?
It was something like that they were saying.
Well, I'm okay with those three locations, but if you guys aren't.
No, it makes sense to me.
Excuse me, Jerry. Are we looking at Tioga on the 4th then and Williston on the 5th? And
well, that's a question for the commissioners.
Randy had a question, though. Didn't you say you wanted the last one in Killdeer? No, wait a minute.
Location.
The central location.
The most central.
Or do you have a preference now?
Well, I do think it should be the most central location, but we're holding two of them up within the last third or
Tioga.
Quarter of the length of the line.
Yeah, Tioga's like only 60 miles from Williston.
Yeah. And Beulah's 150 miles from Williston.
And Killdeer's a little closer to Williston, but we have a big area between Williston and Killdeer.
Isn't the Williston, to me, when I looked at it, the Killdeer-Williston corridor is going to be the most challenging.
Yeah, you're coming through the grassland areas and so forth. And
the water corridor.
Yeah, crossing the Little Missouri.
Well, I mean, if Randy wants to do a hearing somewhere else, we certainly can. I don't.
When I think about this, I wonder if the Killdeer to Williston area is going to be all that much tougher. You have federal land in there, and that's an issue. But it's also land that's less productive agriculturally, so individual operators have more of it. And, you know, when you're dealing with one operator that has 20,000 acres as opposed to another operator where each of them only have 3,000 acres, you have a lot more operators that may want to be heard from on the north and east ends of this line where the operations are just smaller.
So what are you saying, Randy? I'm not tracking.
It seems like we're having two meetings up on one end of it, one somewhere close to the middle and nothing on the other end.
The company liked Williston as being central in the area. Really, I think they added Tioga because you wanted a third location.
Well, I think Randy's point is Beulah should be the third location. It should be Beulah, Killdeer, Williston. And then people from Tioga have how far to drive to Williston? What's that, 50 miles?
How far from Beulah to Killdeer?
50
miles. So it's six in one and a half dozen in the other, I guess.
It comes to mind to me that you could move the Williston to Watford City, but the company felt there was more interest and activity up around Williston, but that does bring it further south.
How long is this line? Do you remember the miles?
About 200. I'd have to look to for sure, but
well, I guess, you know, Kilder isn't an earth-shattering distance from Beulah, if there's some good reason, but are we doing this for Basin's convenience or for the convenience of the property owners?
Knowing the route and stuff, this is what they suggest. That's all I can tell you.
Well, but it appears it's the same. I mean, we're in a scenario where you've got, if you drop Tioga, Tioga people drive 50 miles to Williston. If you don't have Beulah, they drive 50 miles to Kilder. So it's the same scenario. As long as we keep the Williston-Kilder together, somebody's going to have to drive 50 miles in. Unless you'd move Williston or you'd move Kilder, we're going to have the same thing, just in different ends.
Yeah.
Right?
If we're going to stick with three meetings, I guess somebody's going to have to drive.
Well, if you guys want to, if you want to do two, I mean, Julie, what do you think? This is
I am willing to follow the company's recommendations, and I see our clock getting closer to 11:30 and want to wrap this up.
Well, but I mean, how many landowners? That's what, because I asked the same question you did. It's why Tioga instead of Beulah? Because I was thinking Beulah, and you came back with the number of landowners affected between Beulah and Kilder is less than the number of landowners affected from Tioga to Williston.
So that was what I understood from them.
So that is the rationale of why we picked Tioga, because there's more landowners affected. It doesn't mean the landowners in Beulah aren't important. It's just there's only one or two of them instead of...
And I don't know if there's only one or two, but they were saying that your area up around Tioga had more issues or more landowner-type things than
well,
you did down around
should
Beulah.
We just go to two hearings and don't do one in Tioga or Beulah, and then it's fair to everybody?
That was my first recommendation was Kildare and Williston, and that was what the company had first suggested. Our problem is there's not much between Kildare and Williston. I mean, Watford City, I don't know what else you got for towns along through there that make it a good place to hold a hearing.
Alexander's too close.
Well, I don't want the inconvenience for the Beulah end of it to cause inconvenience for the Tioga end of it. That wasn't why I questioned it. I guess I'm fine with the three.
Okay.
But I hope that, I mean, this is my first one of these for me. I hope our whole process isn't about Basin Electric's convenience here.
Just if I can interject, no. My understanding is they're picking based on where the landowners are located, and they're making recommendations based on that, not because they'd prefer to be in these locations because it's more advantageous to them.
And you know, I usually ask the companies where their locations for the hearings would be best. You know, they've been along the route and they've had pre-construction meetings and stuff like that and are more familiar with where their issues are and stuff like that than we are. And so I just usually do that as a matter of course.
Remember, the company only wanted two. It was the last meeting that I said I wanted to do three. And then the guidance we said was pick the best location to get the most people between whatever you want for that third city, because the company only wanted two. So we're already doing one more hearing than the company asked for. So I don't think we're acquiescing to the company at all. We were asking for an additional hearing. And I really like the idea of having two hearings close together and the third hearing a week later, because that way if we've got things that don't have in the record, that second hearing, you got a whole week to put them together. That, I think, is the good logic to have that third hearing. And so the question I think would be, where do you want to have that final hearing at? And maybe that goes back to you have that final hearing in Williston, so it's kind of centrally located. So anybody that, if somebody in Beulah or Tioga has missed those other two hearings,
Or Stanley
or wherever, they can drive into Williston, the seat, if you will, to get that last hearing comments. So is that okay?
Yes.
Jules?
Makes sense.
Okay, so then we would do the fourth at Kilder, I don't know, or then the 5th at Tioga and the 12th on Williston, okay, or vice versa.
We'll go with what you just said there, the 4th at Kildare.
Okay, and then the 5th would be in Tioga, and then 12th in Williston. What time do you want to start these, Jerry?
I suppose if we're flying to Williston, would we need 2 hours to fly to Williston?
No, I think we should start them all at 9 and back the other way, whatever time we have to leave. We take that big plane to Williston, it was pretty quick. How about we start all of them at 9?
Now, Tioga, are we driving from Tioga to Williston to Tioga? I don't know if they even got an airport.
Yeah,
Tioga's
at
an airport. Remember we flew
they
in
do.
There, we almost hit those stacks that time?
Oh, okay.
Remember that, Pat? I remember it well. No, I would say we'd fly into one and back home and fly out the next day. I don't see trying to orchestrate all the everybody staying overnight and doing that because it's...
And I still don't know if we can fly into Kildare.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that either.
Flown into Kildare.
Kildare does have an airport, but...
Huh? Fly into Dickinson and go out.
That's what I heard. Scott's here.
Well, we don't have to decide all the logistics today. Let's just see. If we all agree we'll start them at 9, we'll figure out how to get there by 9.
Okay. I'm suggesting if we're driving to Kildare, maybe we'll start it later.
Sure. Can we just make, you can recommend a schedule and we can fine tune that. It's still, a number of months away. So.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay. We'll check out what it takes to fly into Kildare, though.
Just remember that whatever time we start later in the morning, we will be there later in the evening.
Yeah. Jerry, and I need to know.
Oh, okay. Can you fly into Kildare?
Okay, let's move on here. Patrick, you want to have a formal hearing for this damage prevention enforcement?
Yes, the Kildare case.
Okay.
This one's been around for quite a while, as you may know, but it started out, Chris Merle was the staff. Advocacy staff person, and then when Chris left, I was advocacy staff person, and when Sarah came, I got her involved in the case, and now Ryan is our staff attorney, and we're trying to line up some hearing dates. And
what do you got, Pat? Give us.
We have to be out in. We have just a couple of dates that work for Judge Fetch.
Yeah, except I have a bigger copy.
And well, I'll just throw out these dates, and then Alana's gonna. Add her schedule in, but we have June 18th, which I sounded like won't work at all. July 9th.
Why doesn't June 18th work?
It's the attorney conference in San Francisco, the NARIC attorney conference, which I plan to attend, and hopefully Ryan can also attend, but that's the 16th to the 19th.
Okay.
It could be the week before, but Commissioner Fett is ALJ Fetch is the ALJ, and she doesn't have the week before, right?
We have a date for the 14th, possibly the 14th or the 12th, but the 12th is too early, right?
Of June. Well, I think I counted it through the 10th if you got it out tomorrow.
The 14th of June is fine for me. NARIC is the 9th through the 13th, but the 14th would be fine. I don't
Mark,
know if I, or Mark, yeah, I'm sorry.
Mark, right, and then see the 16th through the 19th is the attorneys.
But does the 14th work? Randy, the 14th work for you? June 14th?
Yep.
That's better for me than later because Sue just, the scheduling in Anderson is the 9th through the 12th of July. If we were flipping to late her July dates.
Okay, well, let's, June 14th, if it works, let's do it.
All right.
We have a time and a location?
Be here.
It'd be here, yep.
Our favorite 10 o'clock?
Sure.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right. What's the next one, Patrick? Or no, Sarah, I'm sorry.
The next one is for this Antelope Valley project, the pipeline to go from the Dakota Gasification to the Antelope Station. And I have availability dates from Mitch Armstrong and Bonnie Fetch. Unfortunately, these dates are somewhat some of the same dates that are already being used. I think, are yours in May or June?
June 14th.
June.
Yeah. Okay. And this, I'm trying to look for, where did I put the, Oh, the location for this one would be in Stanton. And so Bonnie and Mitch are both available the 4th and 5th, which you guys aren't, and then the 12th, which leaves the 13th.
The 4th and 5th of June, you just said? Weren't we available the 4th because of that late night council meeting?
No, you're going to be in Kildare on the 4th.
No, that's in September.
Oh, September. Okay.
That's what you're
All right.
That's what I was wondering what you were asking me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so the 4th, 5th, 12th, or 13th?
Well,
this is June?
Of June.
You know, with that late night council meeting on the 4th, we could do it on the 4th and just ask to move the late night council. It would seem to be... That's all I have in the 4th. I don't know about Julie and Randy. I should ask them.
Yeah.
Well, we have other
I have
dates.
Something at 3:30 that day.
We have the 5th, the 12th, and 13th available.
Well, the 5th is a commission meeting.
Oh. This will take... Yeah, I have My to be bad. Back at 3:30 on the 4th. But I'm available prior to that. And the 5th, we have a commission hearing, and we have an informal set for 1:30. Could we do it?
We got to go out to Stanton over this. But I would think that if we started this one in the earlier in the morning of the 4th, we could certainly be done by 2:30.
But do we want to adjust everybody's schedules of the league night players? Is there no other dates that we can do this?
4th, 5th, 12th, or 13th?
12th, let's look at that.
Problem is we're shot.
12th is Mark.
12th and,
mm-hmm. and so is the 13th.
So is the 13th. Well, the 13th might work in the afternoon. We could start it at like 1 and just go till we're done. Does that work for
Fine
you?
Fine with me.
Does that work for you, Randy?
Repeat that again.
So we'd say June 13th at, let's say, 1 o'clock. And we would just start at 1 and go till we're done.
Fine.
Yep, that works
okay.
for me.
Then we don't have to move anything else, and that works for the company's schedule and Okay, easy. Sold.
Okay.
All right. Anything else we need to schedule? All right, in the 5 minutes we have remaining, Jerry. So how we got this laying out now? We're going to do, you're going to check on Kildare yeah. for us to see whether we drive or fly and adjust the time accordingly.
And, you know, it dawned on me that if we are driving to Kildare, maybe we want to do Tioga first because that first day might go longer.
Say that again.
If we are driving to Kildare, maybe we would want to do Tioga first because the first day might go longer. So if we'd be starting at 9 and flying back, because at Kildare, if we have to drive, we drive there and drive back.
But couldn't we fly to Dickinson and drive to Kildare? It's 20 miles.
I got Scott trying to figure it out. I don't know if they had some problems with the runway at Kildare.
But we'd still just be flying to Dickinson.
Like, what, 40, 50 miles?
Isn't it only 20? I thought it was 22 miles or something north of Dickinson.
I think it's a little more than that. But
when do we get together again here, the three of us? You know what, let's do this. Could we, Jerry, could you get this all ironed out and then let us know in an email what you'd recommend, and then,
sure.
and then we'll go that way? Because I just...
Sure. If we got these dates and times, let me try and figure out the logistics. And
okay.
And if we end up driving to Kildare, I would suggest just let me switch the Tioga to the 4th and the Kildare on the 5th.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. All right. Anything else for the team? Randy? All right. We'll close the administration portion of the meeting.